Well, if you were given a Bible, if you don't have one with you, and you were given a Bible when you came in, then this is the church Bible. And please do, if you would, turn to it on page 855. Page 855 will take you to Matthew's Gospel, the eyewitness account of the life of Jesus according to Matthew. And that will take you to the part that John read for us kindly in verse 24. So that's page 855, page 855, and it's Matthew chapter 7, and we find that story, probably quite a famous story for many of us here, where Jesus talks about two men, one wise and one foolish, who build a house. And one is built on the rock and one is built on the sand. And when the storms come, one stands, the one that was built on the rock, and the other one falls and collapses and is destroyed completely, the one that is built on the sand. And Jesus calls one wise and he calls one a fool. And we just want to have a short few thoughts from this morning and hear what God does say to us from his word. Our title, if you wish, for our sermon this morning is The Only Rock to Stand On. The Only Rock to Stand On. Some of you here might remember a television program, a game show way in the past called It's a Knockout, which was quite a bit of fun. Teams would come together and they would have crazy things to do, often to try to get from one side to another across an obstacle course. And sometimes you had to kind of find where the firm ground was. And if you didn't find the firm ground, if you stood on the big spongy thing or whatever, down you would fall into the water at a slippery slope and you would have to start again. And it was the team really who managed to find the sure footing across the course that normally ended the race first and won it. Well, Jesus is clear here in this passage in verse 24 through 28 that his word, what he says, is the only rock for people's lives. If you don't want your life to be crushed by the storms of life, you need to build your life on what Jesus says. So in this passage, the only reason that the man's house stood, the wise man's house stood, was that it was built on the rock. We see that in verse 25, don't we? We see that the storm came, the floods came, they beat against the house, but it did not fall because it was founded, or its foundations were on the rock. That's the reason it stood. And in verse 24, Jesus makes clear what the rock is. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, my words, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus' words are a rock, and the one who does them stands on a rock. So the message of this simple parable is clear. Build your life on Jesus' words. You won't be destroyed. Build it on anything else, and you will be destroyed. I don't know how many of you over the summer, I don't know if, how many of you are into cricket. Some of you will be, some will love it, some will hate it. But over the summer, England played in the Ashes, which is a competition between England and Australia. And England were thoroughly beaten. And their captain, Alistair Cook, he played terribly. And so the media were really, you know, crying out for him to resign his captaincy and to give it all up. And in an interview after that, Alistair Cook said, I would have crumbled. The situation was enough for me to fall apart. And I should have fallen apart, but I didn't because of my wife. My wife was like a rock. And she encouraged me and she caused me to stand at this very, very difficult time. Now, she was invisible, really, to most of us. Until he gave that interview, she was invisible, but she was there. And she was a rock to him. She caused him to stand. And Jesus says, I am the ultimate and only rock in this life. I really stop people's lives falling apart. I stop people's lives being destroyed and ruined. You may not see me, but I am here. That's what Jesus says. And whoever trusts in my words will not be destroyed. Yes, storms will come. They will batter you. But if you're standing on Jesus, they will not destroy you. So that's worth looking at, isn't it? Isn't that worth looking at for a few moments this morning? So we're just going to take 3 points very quickly this morning and think about what this means. And the first one might shock you a little bit, because it is that you will be totally shaken. You will be totally shaken. That is an unavoidable reality for every single one of us. Did you know that meeting God, the Bible describes meeting God as the greatest shaking in a person's life? An absolutely awesome and incredible shaking. And it is the destiny of all of us to meet God. So we will be shaken. We will experience it in our life, and it will be the most life-shaking experience that we have. So we can be certain that we are going to be shaken, totally shaken, as individuals in this life. But most of us will actually be shaken in this life right now, too. Right now, you might be going through a shaking. You might feel that your life is being torn from underneath your feet right now. You might feel flawed by the circumstances that are going on in your life. It does happen. Or you might say, it has happened to me. I could tell you, James, if I had the time, I'd sit you down and tell you how life circumstances just came in and totally wiped away what I was standing on. Or it might be that that's for the future in your life. It's ahead of you and you don't even know it. Very few people live their whole life without being shaken radically by something in it. Just listen to your friends, no? If you're at work and your colleagues and what they say, just listen to them, listen to their life stories. You will find that they meet something that totally rips their life open. Open your newspapers and read the newspapers about people. It's full of people's lives who are rocked by what is going on in them, whether it's local, whether it's national, or whether it's international. Look at our world. Look at the globe. Full of lives, totally shaken by what is going on. Of course, we all do our best to avoid that. It's not a nice experience. And there's many different ways that people aim to do that. Maybe the biggest one here in the West is money. Nothing wrong with money. In fact, the Bible says we need money, and money does protect us. It does help us. But many people put their trust in money as the thing to stand upon, to hold back things that might shake them. But we could think of many examples, couldn't we? In the past, Jennifer Aniston, for example. There she is, beautiful woman, lots of money, and yet along comes Angelina Jolie and rocks her world. Sounds funny and comical, doesn't it? But believe me, she's still shaking somewhere inside over what happened. It happens. Or we could take fitness and health. And many of us invest in fitness and health. And we say, my health will be the thing I will stand upon. But we've got examples of that, haven't we? Michael Schumacher. What a fit guy. What an accomplished guy. And in a second of a skiing accident, he is totally rocked. Well, many of us trust in family. And we rely, rightly so, on people round about us. We rely on mothers or brothers or fathers or sisters or friends or something like that. But then we've got millions of examples where that too is rocked. I think about Liam Neeson, another actor. And his wife, Natasha Richardson, was just taken from him like that in another skiing accident, and family radically changed. What about us less famous people? What rocks our worlds down at the lower levels? Well, redundancy, that could do it. Major debt building up, that could do it. Family breakup, alcohol in the family or in your own life, drugs, cancer. Think about cancer. Who can hold that one off? And it rocks a person's life. We can't prevent being totally shaken. It's not in our power to do that. In one way, we're like a small little boat being carried along the greatest of rivers by a huge current, and we have no oars, we have no motor, we have no sails. Whatever rapids come our way, they come our way, and we can't avoid them, and they could destroy us, and we cannot stop meeting the waterfall that is there. It is coming, ready or not. Being totally shaken is an unavoidable reality for us all. But our second point is a wonderful point, is that you don't have to be destroyed. You don't have to be destroyed. It can be like a rock in a savanna fire. Have you ever seen one of those fires sweeping across the savanna, the grasslands of Africa? And the animals, they are running from it for their life. And maybe they find one of those great rocks in the desert. And you find the animals on it. And the ones that get to the top, they are safe. Or maybe it's like a huge island in a raging sea. And the sea can rage for all it's like, but the island is too big for the angry sea. That's Jesus. Trust in Jesus' words causes a person to stand. And I just want to say one aspect of Jesus' words that cause a person to stand. And it's that Jesus' words are eternal words. That's why a person stands. Whatever he says is true forever. So when Jesus says, whoever believes in me, they will not die. Listen, he says, whoever believes in me, though they die, they will live, because I am the resurrection and the life. I give life. Jesus says that. When he says that, it's true forever. Not for a moment, but forever. And you can build your life on it. If I can just try and illustrate it. Imagine a father, and he says to his daughter, I will pick you up from school. At the end of school, I will pick you up. And the little daughter goes to school, and she has hope. She is certain, really. She is certain that her dad will pick her up at the end of school. She's certain that because her dad's alive, her dad is strong, and her dad is faithful. But we know that dads die. There's others stronger than the dad, and sometimes dads aren't faithful. But Jesus is God. He is always alive, and there is no one stronger. And he is always faithful. There is no barrier to him keeping his word. There's no barrier. Nothing can stop him keeping the words that he speaks. They're eternal. He's eternal. He is all powerful. He keeps his word. So when he says, if you believe in me, you will not die. I will give you eternal life. You can build your life on it through the rapids and the storms. That's the rock to build on. No river, no rapid, no waterfall can separate a person from that promise. So that just leaves us with a question, doesn't it? Are you foolish or are you wise? Are you foolish or are you wise? The Bible has no problem calling us fools if we are. Who is the fool here in our passage? Well, the fool in this passage is the one that simply says, I don't need the rock, isn't he? I don't need the rock. He's the fool. He needs the rock. And he says, I don't need it. Who is the fool today? The fool today is the one who says, I don't need Jesus. I don't need him. I can stand on my own. That's the fool. Is that you? Is that you? It was me. It was me. A Christian who lived in Sri Lanka back about 100 years ago, he said that what I'm doing right now, speaking to you, is just like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all I am. I'm one person standing on a rock telling you where you can stand on the rock too. I'm just a beggar telling you where you can be safe, where you can find the rock of life. So, we're here this morning because of this building in one way, and I suppose many of you might walk past it in the future. You might walk past it, you might drive by it. I wonder what you'll think. I want to leave you with just one thought then. There was another man about 100 or so years ago. He played cricket for England too. I'm sorry about cricket overload with cricket this morning, but he played for England in the Ashes over 100 years ago. His name was C.T. Studd. He was a famous cricket player. And he said that what he wanted church to be most was like a rescue centre, parked a metre from the waterfall of life, where he called out to people. And he said, while there is time, be rescued by Jesus before you go over the waterfall. That's what this building's about. That's what we do here. We're just a group of people that tell you that Jesus is the rock of life. Stand on him while you can. Don't be foolish. Don't be proud. Thank you for listening.